Welcome to the Atlantic Hour.
Yes, I'm Eva.
I'm James. And we are going to be speaking to you guys for the next few weeks about the upcoming presidential election. Exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, yeah, just to kind of give a rundown as to why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, aside from a joint general interest in US politics, I mean, we've come to America in quite a crucial year. Obviously, every election year is crucial, but particularly this one, because it offers the ability to elect the first female president, which...
I'm pretty excited. I think most people on campus are
I think excited so, yeah. for a... There's been a bit of
from
a
presidency.
There's been a. I've had some, seen some rallies, seen some, had some conversations. So.
Yeah. So what we aim to do is have 6 episodes, put one out for you each week. This week we're going to be talking about a debate, which I hope people have seen.
I think a lot of people have seen it. Yeah. it was a good one to watch.
If not, probably just one specific comment Trump made that's circulating.
Which one? Yeah, I know me and James watched it together and we were chuckling for quite a lot of it.
But we're going to then wrap up in time for November 5th. This week it's just us, but we aim to have guests on in different weeks, like people who can offer different perspectives on the election. Obviously, it's only just over 50 days left now. So the home stretch, I guess. I mean, we're both from the UK, so our elections this would be a long election anyway.
This would be long election.
But we're excited to offer like a fresh insight on the election.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's kick off this week then. So this episode, we're going to be talking about...
We're kind of like looking at 3 main points.
Yeah. Race and immigration, human rights and foreign policy, specifically as they relate to the debate.
A lot to pack in.
Yeah, and then we might finish out with a bit on Trump's claims that he won the 2020 election. And then we'll do a bit of a retrospective on what we hope to discuss next week.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, let's kick off then. So, Trump and race.
Complicated topic. I mean, he said some questionable things.
He has, and I think that people weren't expecting him to react very well to a question like that in the debate. Obviously, he had an interview with the National Association of Black Journalists not too long ago. In which I think he potentially turned off some black voters with his comments. And then I've got him quoted as saying, I don't care what she is, she can be Indian or black, I don't mind, but she decided to turn black.
I just think that the use of the word what, like I don't care what she is
exactly.
So dehumanizing and just not at all moral or professional, especially in a presidential debate.
Yeah, and when you think about it, you're turning off, 25-30% of the electorate a comment like that.
Agreed.
On a dime.
Yeah, and also I think just his whole commentary on her race and saying he couldn't care less.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of is contradictory, kind of assumes that he does care if he's kind of talking so much about it.
All right, let me pull up the exact quote.
I don't care what she is. I don't care. You make a big deal out of something. I couldn't care less. Whatever she wants to be is okay with me.
But those were your words, so I'm asking...
I don't know. I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that, and then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her.
I mean, if I knew any better, I would say he doesn't care.
He seems completely
fine. He seems so fine with it. Oh, God.
Yeah. I really want to know what he's been reading as well.
Kind of on along race and immigration lines, let's talk about his Springfield commentary.
Okay.
Because that was...
Yeah, probably the most infamous part of the debate.
Yeah, I'll just start with a little quote from, what did he say? If I can get it.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
I mean, what? I don't know where to begin with that.
And NPR fact checked that afterwards, right?
Yeah, so I think they the comment was so outrageous they had to get the Springfield City government to say, by the way, there is absolutely no evidence that pets are being eaten. I think I did some research on why he said that, and it was that was like a Twitter thread or something like that from.
And I thought in the, like, city parks, like, the original claim was that geese were being abducted.
Yeah.
Now he's, in typical Trump fashion, extrapolated that to say that household pets are being consumed.
Such a, like, exaggeration. But I think if you're getting your evidence from a Twitter thread, the claims aren't going to be
But I think, accurate. Like, on a broader level, that's indicative of Trump starting to unravel. You can, like, see... Again, like you said, we watched the debate. You can see through Trump's facial expressions that he's, like, losing that edge, kind of.
I mean, I think because he goes on so many tangents and he just rambles. Mm. And, you know, there was...
Harris knew how to provoke him in that debate. If you see her face, like...
Yeah, her debate strategy was excellent.
Yeah. I think the exact thing she said was... talk about extreme. She said what we were all thinking.
Yeah. I think, like, that was, like, one of the main... Anybody watching the debate, that was one of the main moments where if you're watching with anyone, you just turn to them, like, and be like, what?
Okay. Like, politics is politics, but putting that aside, if I had a friend who came out of something like that, I think they were crazy.
And that's just... I mean, it's not painting an accurate depiction at all of Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. And it was just ridiculous.
If America as a country is founded on this idea of a cultural melting pot, bringing in different cultures and different backgrounds and almost assimilating them under that one umbrella, what it means to be an American. So the fact that he's instinctively trying to divide and conquer is a strategy. It doesn't make any sense.
I think Harris actually, I think she said in the debate that it was like she was trying to unite the people, and then Trump continued to be someone who used race to divide the country. And I think this is a very clear example of that. It's insane.
And just on race, really quickly, I wanted to touch on the Central Park Five.
Yeah.
Obviously, a pretty contentious issue. Mm-hmm. Harris invited them to the DNC on the 22nd of August.
Mm-hmm. Do you just want to give, like, a little rundown of what the Central Park Five is?
Yeah. So, the Central Park Five case was a case in the... early 90s in which five black teenagers were caught and reprimanded for the rape and murder of a woman jogging in Central Park. And what I've got here is that they spent like the best part of their lives behind bars, only released in 2002.
Yeah.
And Trump's response obviously was horrific to that. Took out a full page ad, which Harris cited in the New York Times, calling to bring back the death penalty.
Yeah.
And calling on the police to do everything in their power to literally suppress these people's voices. So
he still, I think he still claims that they did it. I think
he's he's
very firm in his.
He doesn't even believe that they should have been exonerated.
But basically, like, police analysis kind of concluded that there was no way the boys could have been in the same position as the runner at the time of her rape. But simply because of their race, they were.
But like, this is her, Trump's whole stick, right? If you say black, he'll say white.
He
can't almost do consensus politics. That's why he has to be provocative in everything he says. And I think that was really telling in the debate as well, when he feels the need to almost make up alternative facts, to use Kellyanne Conway's race, just to almost like bolster like his false claims. Crazy.
Okay, so moving on to kind of like the broad umbrella term of human rights. So abortion was brought up in the debate. And it's another case of Trump just pulling out these mad quotes. But anyway, so give some context. Obviously, 2022 saw the overturning of Roe v. Wade, where the Supreme Court ended constitutional right to abortion. So abortion's now banned in 14 states, I believe. And the Trump-Harris discussion was another clear example of Trump using incorrect statements to try and support his arguments. He actually moves away from the subject of abortion to infanticide, which is insane. I also got another little.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's hear what he had to say.
Said the baby will be born, and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby.
I think that was just a moment where the whole country is like, pause, what?
So he's basically saying that it's legal in, no, well, not legal, but like in the US, they are killing a baby after it's been born.
And the divide between Trump and Harris's position on that is so stark, because she's saying that, again, this, like, the abortion laws and the overturning of Roe v. Wade through Dobbs v. Jackson would allow victims of rape and incest to have to carry those children. And as well as that, it would almost it deter people from having any kind of, like, safe, intimate relationships through the fear of abortion. And then you've got Trump saying Democrats want to carry babies to term and kill them.
Yeah. Well, like, I think so. The moderators actually had to fact check during the debate, and they had to say that nowhere in the US is it legal to kill a baby. But also, I think this is where you really see a division between Harris and Trump, because Harris is a motive. She used the word immoral, so it's kind of, it's going past legality, and it's just and it's shown that she truly cares about the people, whereas Trump is so self-centered and just focusing on his own beliefs. I think it's very clear where the two candidates
lie.
Stand.
That's enough said.
Literally enough said. Oh my god.
And on human rights as well. I mean, we can talk briefly about, like, Obamacare. To full disclosure, we're not the most well-versed on that.
No, not really.
But, like, the fact that the fact that he, after 9 years of saying he wanted to repeal Obamacare, then went on to state when asked by David Muir if he has a plan, concepts of a plan, like, I could say that about homework I've got due next.
Yeah, what did he say? He said, they asked, do you have a plan? He's like, I've got concepts of a plan. Whereas I think Harris is like, I have a plan. It's like, well, what's he been doing for the past 9 years?
Apart from making up false lies.
Just spending his time in Trump Tower.
And just really quickly to touch on that, obviously Trump got his start from like spreading lies around Obama's birth and through the birther myths. And like you can't help but feel that Trump knows Obamacare is a good thing, but this is personal for him.
Yeah, he can't back down now.
And I think that came across in the debate. Like, everything he really said was drawn back to a personal level. He can't resist himself. And again, for a presidential candidate, that's what you need. You need that almost neutrality.
Yeah.
And you need that integrity. And I think it was good to have them both, like, visually there, so the American public could see the difference in candidates.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, why, obviously we didn't have this in the budget, but why the Harris campaign wants to do another debate.
Yes. Yeah, but Trump said that he wouldn't debate with her again.
He did, but I'm not sure if he's going to change his mind on that after
I mean, to be fair, she dangles the bait and he just takes it, so I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
But again, shocking that after all this time, people still don't feel like they know Harris. So I'm glad she got the opportunity to go out there on Tuesday night and actually show people what she's about.
And she spoke very well. She played very well. Okay, moving on to foreign policy.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we've got a lot to discuss. Foreign policies.
We do.
Okay. Well, I thought that kind of a wide range of topics were discussed around foreign policy in the debate, but neither really went into specifics about their plans for foreign policy, particularly the US policy on China. But if we want to, like, discuss the... If we want to start with the Israel-Hamas conflict.
Yeah, I think that was a big one.
Neither candidate really strayed from their original positions, which I think was to be expected. But, so like Harris talked about her support of a ceasefire. And Trump used hyperbolic language once again.
I mean, I always just want to touch on the fact that Trump said that Harris, in the same sentence, Harris hates Israel, and at the same time, she hates Gaza, apparently.
Yeah, and she probably hates everyone else. Yeah. But yeah, she said, he quoted, if she's president, I believe that Israel will not exist within 2 years from now.
That is
I didn't even know what. But so, and I think Harris actually responded to this quite well. She didn't play devil's advocate, but she kind of was like,
well, the problem is, this is one point where the Trump campaign could have tried to nail Harris, because obviously Biden's policies around the Israel-Gaza conflict aren't super well received.
Yes.
The Biden-Harris campaign has a precedent around their actions after October 7th that the Trump team doesn't have. So he has the opportunity to almost run it back and say, look, they haven't done this well, I'm going to deal with this better, I'm going to try and present some kind of conflict resolution. But instead, he again used that opportunity to attack Harris. It wasn't really any kind of progression there.
I mean, claiming that she hates Israel is
just... Yeah, considering...
Well, she obviously doesn't. Like, I mean, she like showed... Like, Doug's
probably sitting in the audience thinking, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I think they were like, oh my God. But she, what I think her saying Israel has the right to defend itself, it just matters how, was a particularly strong point from her.
Exactly.
And I think she handled that extremely well. It's a very difficult topic to debate, especially when you're under pressure in a debate.
Yeah.
but I think she came out better than Trump did, honestly.
I definitely think she did. Again, the fact that she prepared with quite a few of Trump's people. Well,
that is the thing. She, from the debate, she clearly prepared.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump clearly did not prepare.
Well, Trump's like being spun by probably...
yeah.
The thing is, Trump's tried to surround himself with people in his own small, like, conservative Republican circle. And then around that news media, which has been drawn to the right. So Fox News, like Sean Hannity. Yeah. And you can kind of see that he didn't have anyone to play devil's advocate for him in prep, because he keeps running into these brick walls, and Harris is there. She's cool. She's collected. Across that, the 90 minutes, like, you...
She's calm.
It's hard to watch Trump, like, lose his mind over the stuff that she's saying.
That's the thing. If you compare the start of the debate to the end of the debate, by the end, he's practically screaming.
Yeah.
And even after, like, they have a break, he's screaming. He's using aggressive hand gestures. Harris is... I think this is the, like, crucial part which I picked up on. Harris doesn't respond. So when he makes these claims, like, she hates Israel, she's a Marxist, she doesn't respond. She just smiles and kind of, like, waves him off, and then responds calmly, collectively, with good responses. And I think that is kind of testament to their leadership styles. I mean, she's calm, he's chaotic, and which
and
one do you want to lead in the country?
She's turning the page, apparently.
She's turning the page.
Unfortunately, there's no Biden in that. He's been written out the script.
Oh, poor Biden.
Just a quick shout out to
Joe Biden. We hope to have you on sometime. That would be wild. We can talk about another main topic of foreign policy, which is the Ukraine-Russia conflict.
Yeah, let's do that.
This I found very, not surprising, I don't know why I'm saying surprising, but just shocking. So Trump said it would be in America's best interest to get the war over with, but doesn't mention whether he wants Ukraine to win.
And especially, like, Trump picked J.D. Vance. Let's be clear about that. And J.D. Vance's policy on Russia-Ukraine is absolutely shocking. He wants the U.S. to be isolationist. He literally said in his RNC speech back in July that he thinks that the Russia-Ukraine war should be over, but he doesn't care how.
Yeah, well, didn't Trump say he would just give Ukraine
yeah,
to Russia?
Like, oh,
doesn't
we'll
care.
Give, like.
Try the accent. And also, it's funny because Trump was based on, like, or claims he has this friendship with Putin and this, like, deep connection.
I mean, his whole stick is to try and court all these, like,
leaders,
dictators,
just,
yeah,
not working.
Xi, Kim Jong-un, and Putin, and like the whole thing about his relationship with Putin is heavily contradictory, because he only leans on that when it's beneficial to him.
And also, Putin's come out and said he supports Harris. No?
Has he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, crazy.
But actually, funny, the Kremlin actually responded after the debate, and they said, Putin's chief spokesperson, Peskov, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, said the name Putin is used as one of the tools in the domestic political struggle of the United States. And it said, leave our president alone.
But, like, with the stuff with the election interference in 2016.
Yes.
And Trump almost bolstering the fact that they had nothing to do, Russia had nothing to do with it. At the same time, trying to further that idea of having relations with Russia, and he was going to almost turn the page on, like, the American and Russian divide. And then at the same time, during his own premiership, tanking that relationship.
Yeah.
So
obviously Harris has said she'll continue to support Ukraine. Much like the Biden administration. I would be shocked if she didn't say that. But what I found it funny when he said, this is when he starts lying, and he said that Kamala met Putin, attempted to negotiate, and then the war broke out 3 days later.
And yeah, Harris said,
I've never met Putin. And also the fact that he placed the blame for the outbreak of the war on the fact that she couldn't negotiate with him when it was clear there was an imminent invasion. Yeah. And, just another of his false claims.
All right, should we discuss climate really quick?
We can discuss climate. I mean, it wasn't really talked about at length in the debate, which shows maybe it's not a main issue in this debate, in this like presidential election.
I mean, the 1,000 people across the country who are going to vote for the Green Party probably all reeling in their seats.
Yeah. I think this was kind of a topic where Harris maybe could have been the weaker candidate, because she obviously has had spoken out about her opinions on fracking and her support in banning fracking in previous years.
But then also she's rolled that back and said that, when she didn't support fracking, now she does.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of question around almost her distancing herself from Biden.
Yes.
And the fact that her values haven't changed, but some of her policy positions have, as a result of her being given her own mandate now and having her own platform.
Yeah. Well, she kind of recovered herself. She said that her values have not changed, but that the US is investing in a wider variety of energy sources so they can reduce their reliance on oil. And that's kind of how she got around it. That did not stop Trump from, again, using hyperbolic language and saying, if she won the election, fracking in Pennsylvania will end on day one.
And just to touch on foreign policy and climate really quick, let's not forget that Trump was the one who pulled out the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, he's not a climate denier, but he's definitely come out and said it's an exaggeration, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also, like, among NATO leaders, he and Vance have said that they will take or leave the relationship with Europe. I'm sure Starmer's really
loving that. Yeah. Oh dear, poor Keir.
We'd also love to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, if you're listening, we miss you. We'll be back soon. I think this. I mean, if you want to talk about Pennsylvania, is a swing state, and they were in Pennsylvania during the debate. For Harris to say that she would support a ban on fracking is a very dangerous position to hold. So I think I don't know what her actual true beliefs on fracking are, but I think
she must be against it. But she's say that she's.
I don't think she can now
in the debate.
I think she's realised now that
because the policies for her in the next period are going to have to be crystallized, so she can't flip-flop on these issues.
She can't afford to
have voters think that she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
and I think the debate in essence proved that she does know what she's talking about compared to Trump. That was the main takeaway from that debate. Before we wrap up, I do want to discuss one more thing, and I've got another clip. And that is the 2020 presidential election. So let's hear what Trump has to say on that.
You talk about the Capitol. Why are we allowing these millions of people to come through on the southern border? How come she's not doing anything? And I'll tell you what I would do, and I would be very proud to do it. I would say we would both leave this debate right now. I'd like to see her go down to Washington, D.C. during this debate, because we're wasting a lot of time. Go down to, because she's been so bad, it's so ridiculous. Go down to Washington, D.C. and let her sign a bill to close up the border.
All right, one more bit.
The election. You repeatedly falsely claimed that you won, many times saying you won in a landslide. In the past couple of weeks leading up to this debate, you have said, quote, you lost by a whisker, that you, quote, didn't quite make it, that you came up a little bit short. Are you now acknowledging that you lost in 2020?
No, I don't acknowledge that at all. But I said that sarcastically. You know that. And we said, oh, we lost by a whisker. That was said sarcastically. Look, there's so much proof. All you have to do is look at it. And they should have sent it back to the legislatures for approval. I got almost 75 million votes, the most votes any sitting president has ever gotten. I was told if I got 63, which was what I got in 2016, you can't be beaten. The election, people should never be thinking about it. An election is fraudulent. We need two things. We need walls, and we have to have it. We have to have borders, and we have to have good elections.
Right.
Just a waffler.
There's a lot to unpack there. First up, fact check.
Yeah.
Trump got 74 million votes in the 2020 election.
What did he say he had?
75.
Okay.
Biden, do you want to guess?
How many Biden got?
Yeah.
Oh, no, go on, tell me.
Biden got 81 million.
Okay, wait, so... Okay.
So a comfortable win.
Yes.
And obviously more of the Electoral College votes as well.
Yes.
So I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't even think he knows what he's talking about, to be honest.
But on a more serious note, the fact that a potential presidential candidate for the United States 4 years after they lost the last election still can't come to terms with that is really shocking, for the fact that someone wants to put that person at the highest level of democracy and uphold them as a beacon of, again, American presidentialism.
What did Harris said something really good that was like kind of gave me goosebumps. It was like, you've been fired by 81 million people and you still haven't come to terms with that. He's angry at this point. He's like,
and
how dare she?
Remember one thing. Trump has the ability to be fired by even more people this time.
And also go to jail.
I'd love to read that CV.
Yeah. Oh, dear. He's...
Again, the January insurrection.
Yes.
I think Harris dealt with that really well.
Really well.
The fact that Trump couldn't admit that police officers had fought to protect the Capitol, had been injured, and some had even died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that she made that abundantly transparent for everyone.
Yeah.
And I was glad that she didn't almost condemn all Republicans and tar them with that brush.
Yeah,
she
said,
there are Republicans out there, again, Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, giving her their endorsement.
Yes.
Who know that what Trump is doing is blatantly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they want to see a new chapter for the Republican Party, and they want to see a new chapter for the country. And she said, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Like, that was all she needed to say.
Well, she's for the people.
I'm not going to tell you what's going on down
there. She's not trying to divide the country. She's, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike Trump. Eye roll. Anyway.
So, I think, in essence, the next X weeks.
Yep.
Are going to be interesting.
I mean, they're obviously dependent on what happens next and any new revelations which occur.
Yeah.
But we hope to get some speakers on, some guests.
Oh, we do, indeed. I mean,
get an American perspective.
We more than one.
More than one.
If we can dredge a potential MAGA Republican up from somewhere on the campus.
Well,
we'd love to have you. That is a call out. Is there anyone?
I talked about this. I saw maybe a little Trump rally on campus. I didn't want to go up to it and ask someone to come, but it would be interesting.
It would be great to have someone.
Just kind of get, especially the perspective of an American college student who can vote I mean, I can't vote. You can vote, James.
I can. I'm actually a US citizen, guys.
Yeah. And he never stops talking about it. But, yeah, just... And also someone who's going to, like, live under whoever wins for the next 4 years. But, yeah.
So, that's all from us this week. Yeah. Next week, we will be discussing the... Again... Shifting political landscape.
Shifting, yeah.
Hopefully Trump gives us something interesting to talk about. Or Harris.
Definitely will, without a doubt.
And
maybe there'll be another debate.
Also want to potentially tee up for what will be a very interesting debate between VP Tim Walz and Vance. Yeah.
Maybe even more interesting than the debate. Because who knows?
And it'll be in New York.
Will it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
that's exciting.
They're stepping up a little bit, I'd say.
Okay, amazing.
All right. Thanks for listening,
Thank
guys.
You so much.